News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio, where you want it, when you want it.
Welcome to the program. Ladies and gentlemen, it is just after 8 o'clock, and we are here live tonight, broadcasting across the radio waves of News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM, and also online at CJME.com. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are here live discussing the Ouija board. It's something that has been really controversial in many circles and in many segments of our society, even within the paranormal world. There are people that do believe that Ouija boards are a positive thing, and people that believe that they are not such a positive thing. The Ouija board itself is celebrating its 125th anniversary, and there's a huge festival called OuijaCon that's going on in Baltimore, Maryland next weekend. And I figured that because it is the anniversary of these boards, and because they are such a hotly contested topic, both at home and abroad, that I would try and assemble a panel of experts, of people that can discuss these boards and bring you differing perspectives on the boards here tonight. So in studio live right now, we have Kelsey, Corey, and Allison, members of the past paranormal team. Welcome to the studio, guys.
Hey, Jeff.
Thank you.
We also have Dr. Brett Salkett. He's a doctor of theology, and he's in the studio with us here tonight as well. Welcome, Dr. Brett.
Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. Thank you for coming in. We also have on the line the one, the only, she's been a guest on our program before. She is an author. She is somebody who has documented over four decades of communication with spirit using the Ouija board. Karen Dahlman joins us. Karen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, everybody.
Hey, how are you tonight, Karen?
Karen.
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good.
We're all doing fantastic here. Now, this panel, I think, is really interesting because there are so many different perspectives and different possibilities that this discussion can really go. We all come from differing points of view with reference to the Ouija board. So I think where we're going to start here tonight is maybe just getting a little bit of a taste of some of the history of these boards. Now, Karen, you are somebody who has studied these boards and has worked with these boards and has really sort of researched not only the history, but sort of the origins of the board. Can we talk a little bit about the history just very briefly?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Canada has a unique history, too, with the board, which is cool, and I'll get into that as well.
Sure.
So it was in 1890 when Elijah Bond, an attorney from the United States, went to the patent office to put a patent on this board. It was in 1891 when it was granted. And around that same time, he had put a patent in for a Canadian patent, and he was able to work a deal with International Novelty Company, which in turn worked a deal with a Canadian company called Cop Clark Company, and they started creating Ouija boards too. So they were all created right around the same time, by 1891. When they started going to market. And so Canada had their own thing going on with the Ouija boards, and down here we did too. The Ouija board, really, that's when it got its start. However, there's some writings and some letters that were written and some stuff written in some articles that talk about the board might have an older origins, but not the Ouija board.
There was a different type of board.
It was a different type of board, different name. So as people know, there's a lot of different boards out there. We tend to call every single board out there, the spirit board, we tend to call them Ouija boards, where truly they all have their own names.
That's like calling every single tissue Kleenex.
That's exactly right.
It's really the same thing.
Yeah, same idea. So Ouija itself is from 1891 when the patent was granted. But there's some stories about a little earlier in 1886, that one of the presidents down here, President Grover Cleveland, received one for his wedding, and it was called the Witch Board.
Okay.
And it worked kind of under the same principles. But the board that we all know today and that we're here to talk tonight really is that controversial, well-loved, well-hated, feared, and jeered board known as the Ouija board. So that truly got its starts about 1890, 1891. And it was in production by Fold, William Fold and his company, all the way up until 1966 when Parker Brothers bought it. And now this is really interesting, Jeff, you guys. When Parker Brothers bought it, it outsold Monopoly, which was the largest selling game at the time. It sold 2 million copies alone in that first year of sales with Parker Brothers.
Wow.
So it was really in everybody in the United States, almost everybody's parlor room in the, you know, 10s and 20s and 30s, all the way up until like even today. And so many people have stories, you know, as your guests were calling in before, that they used a Ouija board when they were young, or there's one in their attic or closet, you know, their mother did, their father did. It's really quite interesting because it has such a tie to our psyche, especially in America, and I believe it was pretty profound also in Canada with its use. Maybe not as much, but there's quite a good use of it in Canada as well. So it really ties into our pop culture icon, if you will. It's an icon of our pop culture because it's been around for so long, and there's so many stories about it. And really, I would attribute a lot of these stories to the fact that it comes in a box, really with no discussion or no instructions to really how to use it. So we all kind of do what we do with it. Even when we first get a Ouija board, we don't really know sometimes.
We're speaking with Karen Dahlman and the rest of the Ouija panel here tonight about the topic of Ouija boards. Now, Karen, I just have one other quick question because you're sort of our anchor for the history on the boards here tonight. Do you believe that a lot of the reason why it would have sold that many copies when it did in that era is because of the rise in spiritualism and the rise of some of the negative factors that were taking people out of the living world as far as disease and war and things of that nature in that period? People were just more willing to or wanting to make contact with relatives and with the spirit world. Do you think that's part of the reason why they would have sold 2 million copies?
I would say absolutely. See, what built up to it was, think about it, it was down here we had our Civil War, and people were wanting to talk to their loved ones who were losing, writing left all over, you know, United States. And so that was like in the late 1800s. So then we have World War One and World War Two, and it became a time to be able to do your own seance without having to spend money, and you could do this whenever you wanted to. And really, back then, Jeff, and your panel, there wasn't a fear about the board so much. It was really, you would do the board on Saturday and maybe Sunday go to church. There was not such a disconnect from the religiosity because of it was talking to dead loved ones. And a lot of people didn't see that as a problem. But I think what's happened over the years, especially down here in the United States, is that people remember this board, and it's been around, and everybody had it in their lives, the 40s and 50s. So when Parker Brothers took it over, you know, they had the money to really, you know, mass produce it and market it in big ways. And it was new in a sense of being so broadly cast that anybody could have one now. And yeah, I think it was more like a novelty item. It was marketed, it's still marketed as a game and a toy, although
absolutely,
I don't believe it is.
There's a glow-in-the-dark one sitting in front of me right now.
Oh, okay. I have that one too.
I've seen a glow in the dark one. I've seen a pink one, one that's completely pink. That's meant for slumber party and exactly Barbie and things of that nature. So it really has been just part of pop culture, and it has become sort of this phenomenon. Now, I just want to quickly throw a question here to Dr. Brett. Dr. Brett Salkid joins us here as well, Karen. He is a doctor of theology. Now, we spoke about sort of this disconnect that occurred between the church and sort of maybe at that time people would use the board and then go to church on Sundays. Mm. Can you maybe speak to maybe what it is that would have allowed that to happen in that era and in that time frame?
Well, I think in a lot of history, Christians participate in all kinds of things that officially Christians aren't supposed to participate in.
Right.
I mean, you don't get sort of universal buy-in by every churchgoer,
of course,
or everyone on the baptismal roll. And so I think, you know, that's fairly common. And it may have been the case, especially when something's new, it hasn't been talked about a lot, if their religious leaders aren't condemning it, don't see a problem with it. It doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we have similar things in all kinds of religious communities today. They would point to sort of mass non-compliance on any number of questions.
Yeah. Okay. This is Paranormal. My name is Jeff Richards. We're going to take a quick break. After the break, why is there so much fear attached to these boards? You're listening to News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the program. My name is Jeff Richards. This is Paranormal. We have a pretty esteemed panel here before me tonight. We've got the studio is just jam-packed. We've got three members of the past Paranormal team. They are a paranormal investigation team from right here in Regina. We also have Dr. Brett Salkid joining me as well. He is a doctor of theology, and on the phone, in spirit, I guess, since she's not physically here. We've got Karen Dahlman calling into the program tonight. I just want to answer a couple text questions that people are getting here tonight from our text line, which you can text in at 306-306 at any given point if you want to. This is one of our texters, and this just will sort of show you the polarized element of the audience. And as we listen to this program here tonight and we hear these different perspectives, some of your perspective might change, some of it might stay the same. But this one says... This is Matt, and he's from Kerrobert, Saskatchewan. Hello, Matt here. There is enough evidence to know that the Ouija board really works. The Ouija board can also provoke other negative spirits you might think are positive. And he actually quotes a Bible passage here saying, he believes the Bible says in this matter, and the matter of witchcraft is in number 2 Corinthians 11:14, where Satan disguised as an angel of light... Dr. Brett, is that accurate? Is that maybe one of the references?
That's not one I found when I went looking today for Bible passages, but it certainly occurred to me. Actually, I was listening in the parking lot when you talked about phoning and getting a good spirit on the other line.
Yes.
And one of the things is, I mean, it's how do you know it's a good spirit? And I thought of the passage that your listener referenced. You know, that something can look pretty good at first.
But can be deceptive.
Yeah. So it's not specifically on divination, that passage, right, which are the passages I look for, but it certainly relates to the possibility of being deceived by something that looks good on the surface. Right?
Yeah, there are paranormal investigators that firmly believe that there's no such thing as a child spirit. And I've seen and I've encountered child spirits all the time, but some people believe that you don't get a child spirit. If there's a child that's appearing, it's something else masquerading as a child. Because the spirits of children are too pure and innocent to be stuck and to stay here, and they of course will go off to another plane. I want to discuss just very briefly with Karen and all the other members of the panel here, sort of the root of the fear based around the Ouija board, because I really believe that is what a lot of this is based around. A lot of this discussion, a lot of this negativity that surrounds the board is coming from a place that is solely rooted in fear, and I believe. In my opinion, the very first instance of fear based around these boards was brought into the public psyche in 1973 by a little movie called The Exorcist.
You really don't want me to play, huh?
No, I do. Captain Howdy said no.
Captain who?
Captain Howdy.
Who's Captain Howdy?
You know, I make the questions and he does the answers.
Oh, Captain Howdy, yeah, I see.
Nice.
Oh, I bet he is.
Here, I'll show you. Captain Howdy, do you think my mom's pretty?
So that, of course, is Reagan, the girl that gets possessed in The Exorcist, and she's using a Ouija board, and that's sort of where this whole saga for her begins. Now, what about yourselves? Corey, you come from a perspective of being being somebody who has some pretty focused and tight beliefs as far as what you believe in, as far as spirits and the spirit world. Where do you think the fear really originates? Do you think it's solely based on Hollywood?
I do, actually. I do believe it's Hollywood. You nailed it. I think that's where it originated, was from that movie.
There's Kelsey, with a lot of the movies where you see them maybe currently, where they have Ouija boards presented in a very negative sort of light, do you agree? Do you think that modern audiences maybe are even more immersed in some of the negative stigma that Ouija boards might have than an audience would have been in the 1970s, because there's more of this that's prevalent?
I am a very firm believer of that. It has been decades now of, you know, the same thing over and over again, and it's new generations coming in, and their parents they're going to tell stories to their kids about, you know, what happened, and it's just passed on through the generations. And I mean, the marketing, why wouldn't you?
It's phenomenal marketing, really. Now, Karen, the urban legend mill sort of being turned again and again, pretty much fueled by Hollywood, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I agree so much with Kelsey and Corey. Hollywood is an incredible agent at marketing. They saw something that outsold Monopoly. Hello, that was the biggest selling game.
Yes.
And took it. That was in 66. And just 7 years later, really used it to their advantage. And that movie came out, by the way, on December 26th, the day after Christmas. So it's really like playing against, you know, religion and all those things to say, hey, this is really evil and bad. And we grew up as children, you know, the age of all, most of us probably are right on this show right now, believing that this is probably a negative force. Now, I got mine on December 25th on Christmas Day, 1973. So I got mine a day before.
Wow.
So I didn't have that fear. But I will say this, though. There have been stories throughout the years that go way back to the 1900s that are associated with the Ouija board being negative. Like people have apparently committed suicide, also supposedly killed spouses or people based on the Ouija board told them to.
Right.
So that was what they really believed, or it was an easy excuse. That happened, you know, here and there throughout the ages. There's quite a few stories about that. But then Hollywood just grasped it and ran with it in just an incredible way. Great marketing.
I was actually reading, it was an article that was published in, I believe, a UK paper, and they said that the Ouija board, and this is from this year, from last year, I should say, actually, November 28th, 2014, it was published. The Ouija board was slated to be one of the best-selling presents for this Christmas giving season, this past season. Mm-hmm. And they said that sales had risen by about 300%.
That's right.
And it was pretty much just put forward because of the movie that came out, the Ouija movie that came out recently. But it was pacing to outsell the Barbie doll in last holiday season, which is just, it's absurd to me.
But it's, you know, amazing.
Also, looking, you know, with all the rise in the ghost hunting shows and the paranormal shows, and I mean that's fueling it as well. A lot of the shows, you do see people using the Ouija board. We do use the Ouija board on our investigations as well in certain cases. So, and then again, to touch on what you're saying about the negative part of things, I mean, people want to hear about the negative, not so much the positive. They don't want to so much hear about what the good things that have come through on a Ouija board, more than it's way more, like, again, with the marketing, it's way more sensationalized.
It's more sensational.
So
if you can hear, they used the Ouija board, their house burned down, four people died, end of story. Then we used the Ouija board, we got some nice sort of flowery messages, we tucked ourselves in at night, and everybody had a great night's sleep that night. That doesn't play as well as some of the negative things. So certainly that is very, very true. We're going to take another quick break here. This is Paranormal. You're listening to News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the program. Our expert panel, the Past Paranormal Group, Dr. Brett Salked and Karen A. Delman, all on the line with us here this evening. Several of you texting in your thoughts about the Ouija board and about the sort of the how and the why and the whether it's good or bad, which is really what we want to discuss here tonight. You can text your responses to anything that we're talking about on the air tonight to 306-306, or you can call us at 1-877-300-7275. We've got one texter who texted, and they said, actually, there's quite a few texts here, but I'm just going to sort of sum it up right now. They actually texted about eight text messages. But this person said, the Ouija board is very evil and dangerous to your soul, not something to dabble with. It has very evil repercussions. The energy that you speak of is not from God, therefore, why would you have anything to do with it? If I were you, I would pray to Our Father and pray a lot. They continue with, nothing good can come from the Ouija board. It is of the devil. Those who believe in the board are spiritually blind and need prayer. So that's this particular texter's perspective. Now, Dr. Brett, being our focus of the theological background here, and sort of understanding from a religious perspective more about the position of these boards in society, can you speak to that? Do you agree with this caller when they say that the Ouija board is of the devil, and those who believe in the board are spiritually blind and need prayer?
I might be a little more cautious in my language, but I think in general, Christianity has a fundamental problem with this kind of a practice. The basic concern is you're setting yourself up to be deceived.
Right.
That may be at a purely natural level, right? There may not be a demon, you know, moving the thing around. It could be completely explained by natural phenomena, group dynamics, whatever. But you're then put in a position to give meaning to something that may be sort of fundamentally random, or it's your own mind doing something. But once you believe that a board is talking to you, or a dead person is talking to you, or a demon is talking to you, or whatever, whether that's true or not, you're actually in a fundamentally compromised position spiritually, because you're open to deception. That may be self-deception. There may be cases where it's deception from some dark force on the other side. There's certainly Christian teaching would agree that fundamentally nothing good can come from it and would warn from it. Another factor that's really related, you sent me an email before,
yes,
asking me to look into the scriptures about this.
Of course, yes.
So I did some looking, and something really hit me when we were talking about Parker Brothers and how it's wonderful marketing and whatever. I looked in the New Testament. There's two instances in the book of Acts that talk about divination, Acts 8 and Acts 16, and in both cases, it's related to money. Someone is using someone's spiritual gifts or purported spiritual gifts to gain money, or in another case, someone's trying to buy spiritual gifts with money, presumably to make money with it. And I thought that was really interesting. In the New Testament, it's not simply this is bad because, you know, this piece of cardboard can talk. It's bad because you're preying on people's credulity in order to make money. And then when you say, well, Parker Brothers sold more of this than they sold a Monopoly, I thought, isn't it remarkable that that's precisely where the New Testament comes in when it talks about divination, is abusing people's credulity to make money. Now, it doesn't deny that there could be something spiritual, but it's connected to this kind of manipulation of people's credulity. So I think we really need to be aware that there's a few layers going on here. Could be self-deception, could be marketing stuff, could be, in certain cases, you know, actual dark forces, and it's tough to judge in whatever case, but there's a lot of layers going on.
Dr. Brett Salked, letting us sort of into the religious perspective. Now, that is a really interesting point, that when you talk about sort of that passage of the Bible is almost sort of set up to safeguard people from being fleeced by charlatans,
right.
I'm going to say. And I know that in the paranormal communities, there are lots of these types of people. We were discussing off air about how a lot of these new paranormal shows that are coming out, everything is a demon. And everything has a demonic connection and an evil connection. So I find it really interesting because we see that prevalent in our society today and certainly in this field. But maybe that was just a disclaimer. Maybe that's all that was really meant for, is to just sort of protect people from these things coming into their lives.
I think certainly there, but there's also the sense of the sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I mean, if you believe that you're talking to a demon, you're open in a way to that part of reality that you wouldn't be open to before. And a Christian would say those demons don't have any power unless you give it to them.
Right.
And that's the fundamental thing about something like a Ouija board. When you say, if there's a spirit in this room, I offer it my body or my mind to work through. You're opening yourself up to something that actually fundamentally doesn't have power over you. You have to give it, that sort of thing. And it functions as a self-fulfilling kind of prophecy, you know?
Absolutely. Dr. Brett Salked, again, we've got another texter right now saying, I'm not agreeing with the Ouija board being evil, but earlier someone reasoned that it wasn't evil because it was made by human hands. I'd like to point out that humans are capable of doing great evil things and making great evils. So his reasoning is flawed. So just because it was made by man doesn't mean that it can't be evil. Now, Karen, I'm going to just throw to you for a quick second here. All this talk of sort of the board being a negative thing and a negative force and sort of talking about the religious perspective of it. Now, do you believe that the board potentially, in some instances, with people of a certain psychology, can be a negative influencer, Karen?
Well, first of all, I don't think the board has any kind of power or any kind of magical mysticism about it. It's just cardboard, masonite, or wood. It's neutral. So let's just take the board out of the picture.
Sure.
Because, as you know, many psychics can do this stuff without even having a board.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if we're talking about the board, I want to make sure that we're clear. The board is really neutral. It's nothing. And to say you're going to pray to a board or give your body over to some spirit that comes through a board, to me that just doesn't make sense, because you could do that sitting in your room. I could take out a shoebox and consider that like some kind of altar for Panzuzu, and then all of a sudden I could become possessed because you open yourself up. So I don't believe in all these negative entities. I do believe in negative energy out there. And I know when some people do pass on, they're in the astral world, and they have the same personality they had when they died, and they can cause all kinds of mishap and poltergeist stuff. And that's really, I think, where the fear of Ouija comes from, because it's that area where we don't know really what we're doing, and these entities will come through and they'll play tricks and games. But I will say this. The Ouija board can also be very, very enlightening, profound, revolutionary, and soul evolutionary. It's just amazing what it can do as well.
Now, that's a perspective that I think is maybe in the minority of the individuals who may be either listening to this program or perhaps even sitting in this room. I know, Karen, you have a very different perspective on the use of the boards and using them as more of a therapeutic tool and a tool for self-discovery. But have you had negative things that have come through in your 4 decades of experience with these boards?
Not like the experiences people are talking about. I had an entity come through in cuss, and it was definitely from the astral planes and a couple things like that, but would I call that negative? No, because I have a choice if I want to continue to communicate or not. I think, you know, and back to your original question about people that may have some, you know, psychological issues, I agree. Yeah. You know, they shouldn't be messing with anything in terms of another realm. And because, you know, if you don't have a sense of your center or a sense of your own spiritual nature and your connection back to source, it's really hard to do this work. And I know when, you know, as a psychotherapist for many years, working with people who had, like, bipolar or schizophrenic or multiple personality disorder, their reality is so different than ours. And so this is not a tool for them.
No.
Because there should be a disclaimer about it, because if things can happen. But I believe that we really get out of the board what we believe and what we want to extract from it, either it's our imagination or it's our own energy field that we pull to us.
Another texter texting in, earlier I had compared the board as to a tool, and the tool that I compared it to was a hammer. We're just going to close before this next segment on this one. This is James from Regina. He says, if you're comparing it to a tool rather than a hammer, I think a more apt analogy would be a nuclear bomb. It's only good for bringing darkness and fear. Karen, let's talk about some of the positive things that can come forward with these boards in a moment. This is Paranormal. My name is Jeff Richards. You're listening to News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM.
Welcome back to the program.
Welcome back to the program tonight. My name is Jeff Richards. This is Paranormal. We are discussing and sort of investigating the world of the Ouija board. It's something that has a lot of opinions. There's a lot of people who have a lot of thoughts on this subject. And tonight's program has really been a departure from some of the programs that we've done in the past, in that we have this massive panel of experts that we're dealing with right now, including Karen Dahlman, who's on the phone with us. We have Kelsey Corey and Allison from the Past Paranormal Team, and Mr. Brett Salkid joins us as well, Doctor of Theology with the Archdiocese, the Catholic Archdiocese of Regina here as well. So we've got a very, very well-rounded panel, all of coming from different walks and different perspectives. Now, we have to obviously look at the skeptical side of this as well. When we talk about Ouija, we have to look at not only what it means and sort of what people have bred into it. And Karen, you have had some very sort of positive things that have come out of your experience using these boards, and you've used them more as a tool for reflection and sort of introspection in a way. Can you speak just sort of very briefly to that, Karen?
Yes, several times, more than several, quite a few times, I've had experiences where loved ones have come through. Somebody has lost somebody, and I know nothing about these people. Even they have dead relatives they want to talk to, and they come through, and they have such profound messages to give them, where people are able to feel like their burden's been lifted from their shoulders and feel like their loved one is well. And, you know, no deception there. They walk away feeling, you know, really good that there's hope.
Right.
I've had other experiences, too, where we use board, as you said, contemplation, self-reflection, really looking at yourself and finding out what the truth is within. And so a group of spirit guides I communicate with are really clear about helping us really find our own path in life. And they don't give us answers. They really ask us questions to dig deeper within. So there's a lot of more profound thought about our goal in life, who we are, where we're from, where we're going, and just to help us kind of evolve spiritually. So there's a lot more than that, but that's kind of a touch on some of the work we've done over the years.
One texter just texting in, Ouija board is only bad if your focus and energy is bad. If your spirit and intentions are pure, the outcome will reflect that. That's Wind Wolf and Swift Current. That's a sort of a beautiful sentiment, I think. If you put something positive into the board, into the use of the board, then it's going to reflect that, which I think is really the perspective that you come from, Karen. I think that you do put a lot of positive things into the use of these boards, and you've certainly been a positive ambassador for their use over the last several years here. Now, I want to look at the skeptical perspective as well, because I don't want this show to be all about Ouija boards are absolutely real, and they're this is all they are, and they're a real thing, and you should use them. That's not what I want this to be. I want to reflect all sides of this. So there's one texter that coming through the line that says, idiomotor effect and confirmation bias explain the effects, regardless of the medium used. Where is there proof of anything paranormal happening here at all? So this person is talking about, of course, the theory that it is an unconscious motor response in the hand that is essentially moving the planchette, moving the pointer on the board, or on a much, I guess, sort of easier to understand scale, potentially, somebody in your group who's just moving it just to be, just to be cheeky or do whatever, to play on whatever sort of thoughts that you might be having. Skeptically speaking, Kelsey, do you think that the Ouija board has validity, or do you think that it potentially is something where it is just a psychological response and not something spiritual that's actually coming through?
I'm on the fence with everything. I do look at everything very, very logically, anything to do with life in general. I'm actually a very, very, I'm very interested in psychology, and I actually did study it at U of R for a while. And I do believe that it is very, very possible for your mind to, you know, do very powerful things that subconsciously you do not notice. The mind is one of the most powerful things, and knowing what I know from being in the psychology program, and knowing what I know from being in past, it's really hard to make a decision because I have seen things and experienced things with past that have absolutely blown my mind, and then there's the logical, psychological researcher, I guess you could say, in me that I would like to think about things logically, and it's. I'm really torn right now, and there may be a transition later down the road where, you know, one or the other will win, but right now I'm very, very on the fence.
What about yourself, Allison? Do you believe that potentially a lot of these instances are simply idiomotor response coming through?
Absolutely. I think that is a true possibility. Again, with investigating, I think that our bodies are basically our greatest tool. From our senses to whatever's going on in our minds at the time. And, maybe spirit is working through us, not just into a board. And so to me, it definitely is, us definitely controlling the board. I've never actually seen a planchette move across by itself or thrown against a wall or something that you would see on TV or in a movie.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think it's just kind of an extension of ourselves, and that's my opinion.
Okay.
It might not be for everybody, but again, it's a tool. It's just like using any type of a tool for investigating, whether it's a spirit box or whether it's a pendulum or a Ouija board. It essentially is really the same thing. You are trying to contact spirit, and if that is a tool that helps you to contact spirit, I think it is
right.
Generally like an extension of ourselves.
It was Allison with the Past Paranormal Team. Karen, what about yourself? Idiomotor response? Do you think that's a possible explanation for some of the manifestations that occur?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think human response is an option. I think maybe telepathy, being able to use your mind to communicate with other minds, and I also believe it could be an extension of yourself, like your higher self.
Mm.
In fact, I spent about 4 years speaking to nothing but my higher self with the board, with other people as well, and profound messages. But yeah, I think it's a little bit of everything, and it truly, I believe it is what your intent is and what you believe, and that's what you're going to end up getting, because that's what you're going to see, life through those filters, those kind of glasses that can only see that. So I agree in all those.
Dr. Brett, even if it is idiomotor, is there still some danger, speaking from the perspective of religion and theology?
Right. Well, certainly, I mean, I agree with the poster about idiomotor and confirmation bias. I think the brilliance of the board is that it's so open-ended, it allows for so many possibilities in terms of things like confirmation bias. But the last comment, fun. Well, if someone thinks what they're doing is demonic, if they think a dead person is telling them to do something, if they get themselves whipped up into a situation that can be explained completely in scientific terms, right, idiomotor and confirmation bias, they're still in a terrible position. And I've talked to people who've been in pastoral ministry, priests and deacons, who've found people who've come to them and said they're addicted, they're trapped in a kind of pattern that they can't get out of. That doesn't mean that a demon is moving the planchet around. It means that they've opened themselves up to believing a dead person is giving them instructions. One guy, a deacon, told me about a hockey team that was using it to figure out which teams, which players on the other teams to injure, right? And that could be completely idiomotor and confirmation bias, but it's still dangerous. And they don't know that they're doing it. They think it's coming from somewhere else.
I just want to quickly get one final word from everybody on the panel as to whether or not the Ouija board is something that people should be utilizing. Karen, Delman, do you believe people should use a Ouija board?
I'm not here to sell the boards or get people to use them. I think it's a tool to use as any other tool, and for me, it's been just an incredible pace with it. I've gone to incredible levels of consciousness and sentient beings. I've been able to communicate, and it's a great way to explore a consciousness.
Kelsey, final word, one from you, yes or no?
Yes, use if it's boards? Used properly.
Okay, what about yourself, Corey?
It's a tool. You should use it carefully.
Allison?
Absolutely. Educate yourself.
And Dr. Brett?
I would say you've got a lot of better options spiritually than something that, in my view, is fundamentally deceptive.
Well, there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Big thank you to our panel tonight. Just after the break, we have Lloyd Auerbach, who will be joining us. He's a parapsychologist. I'm going to be asking him a lot of the questions, more on the skeptical side of things. But a big thank you to Karen Delman, the past paranormal team, and Dr. Brett Salkhead for joining us tonight on this panel. This is Paranormal. You're listening to News Talk 980 CJME and News Talk 650 CKOM.